The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Connect to Success. For the next half hour, I'll be sharing with you uplifting stories of people who are blind, visually, and print impaired, who have overcome the many obstacles in their way in hopes that you, yourself, will connect to your own success. We're going to begin with a story coming from RachelRayShow.com. We all face hardships, but for many, the thought of losing our sight is a horrifying prospect. Despite facing immense difficulties as a result of vision loss, there are some truly amazing people in the world who have overcome their disability to achieve amazing things. We will be talking about so many of them. We will be talking about so many of them coming up right now. Like I said before, RachelRayShow.com has a great story called "This Inspiring Social Media Star is Blind and Her Fashion and Makeup Tips Have Gained Millions of Followers." Molly Burke talks all things fashion, beauty, home decor, and adventure in her YouTube videos for more than 1.9 million subscribers, and what it's like to do it all blind. She says when she was 14 years old, she lost the majority of her vision due to a rare genetic eye disease that she was born with, which was causing the progressive loss of vision. It's called retinitis pigmentosa. After losing the majority of her vision, she noticed that people started treating her really differently to how they treated her before. People would talk to her family instead of talking to her. They would ask her mom, what does she want to eat? Instead of just directing their conversation to her. Whether she's blind or not, she says, she wished people would treat her the way she would like a human being. Molly explains. She actually started on her journey of motivational speaking at just 5 years old. She says, when I was 5 years old, I started public speaking as a youth ambassador for a charity that fundraised for vision research, and that unlocked an absolute passion for me, she says. At 18, I started touring full-time as a motivational speaker, going all over the world, speaking to audiences as large as 20,000 at a time. Molly adds, however, an accident would ultimately change everything for Molly and her future. She said, I had a very severe accident and really bad blind girl moment. I walked straight off a 5-foot stage and ended up injuring myself. I had to quit my dream job, and I was trying to figure out what am I going to do with the rest of my life. That's when I started my YouTube channel, which has brought me to where I am today. She says, Molly's YouTube channel allows her to express herself in most honest and real ways. She says, my YouTube channel is truly like an expression of myself and my life that I just put on the internet for everybody to see. And sometimes it's really funny and sometimes it's really sad, she adds. One of the comments I always get is, who does your makeup and your hair and puts you together every day? And I say, I do it all on my own. A lot of people assume things like makeup and fashion are purely visual, but I can't see. Every single day, I pick out my outfits. In fact, when I go shopping with my friends and family, I usually pick out stuff for them to try on. That's what I end up taking home, Molly says. Elton John is my guide dog, and he is the cutest, fluffiest Labranese you've ever seen. He is my best friend, my baby. He is on my left side, making sure that I navigate the world safely and with confidence, she explains. The Mira Foundation is the guide dog school where I've received all 4 of my guide dogs, and they are the only guide dog school in the world that provide guide dogs for children ages 11 and up, which I think is absolutely incredible, Molly adds. One of the things Molly shares with us is the misconceptions she and the blind community face from society. There are so many misconceptions that I face every single day as a blind person and those in the community that face the same things that I do. Number one is that blindness is simply seeing nothing, which isn't true. An estimated 90% of blind people have some form of remaining vision. In my case, it's light and shadow perception, but it differs for everybody, she says. There's also a huge misconception that we can't use technology. In fact, I would say we rely on technology even more than the average person does. So often society thinks of disability as simply disability. They forget to see the person behind that disability. Oftentimes people assume that being blind has limited what I'm capable of doing or what I want to do in life. And honestly, I feel like it's the absolute opposite. I've actually accomplished more as a blind person than I probably would have as a sighted person, just because my blindness has driven me to want to achieve more than society believes I'm capable of, Molly explains. Rachel Ray asked Molly, what is it like to talk to people she impacts through YouTube and hear their feedback? She says, it honestly is the reason I do it. When I lost my vision and I was struggling with depression and I was being bullied and I felt so alone, I felt so isolated every single day when I would leave my house. Even though I was surrounded by people, I felt like I was the only one going through what I was going through. And it means so much to me to be able to be the role model for other people that I didn't have when I needed it, she says. And whether that's because you can relate to me because you also live with vision loss or with a disability, or whether you can relate to me simply because my story is one of overcoming challenge, and that is something that everybody is going to consistently have to do in their life. And bringing people hope that no matter what challenge they're facing, they too can overcome it and move on to a happy life is so fulfilling, Molly says. Your life is so incredible and you've become such a huge success, more than your personal success, but in helping other people be successful with their lives and feel good about their lives. Rachel Ray asked her what's next for her. She says, I am the person who sticks to my hands in all the pots. I love keeping busy. If I have one day off, I'm bored. So right now I'm working on a podcast. I can't say too much, but it will be launching later this year, hopefully. And that's really exciting. And it's going to be something so new that I've never done before. Unlike any of my other content. So I'm very excited for people to be able to enjoy that, Molly shares. We can't wait to see what Molly and all she does in the future. And Rachel says made her a promise to come back after the launch of her podcast so she can be a part of it. Way to go, Molly. Our next story is a good one. It is the listverse.com story about 10 incredible stories about blind people. According to the World Health Organization, there were 39 million blind people on the planet in 2013. These are the people who wake up every day and stare down life without the help of their eyes. Truthfully, anyone who lives with this disability has an amazing story to tell, but some have achieved incredible things or had incredible things thrust upon them. We're starting with number 10, the blind movie critic. The Hunger Games review, of course, no spoiler if you haven't seen it before. If you have, great. If you haven't, you still can check it out anytime. But let's continue with the blind movie critic, blind film critic. By its nature, film is a visual medium. You would think an art form intended primarily for the eyes wouldn't interest a blind person, but you would be wrong. Not only does Tommy Edison watch movies, he reviews them on YouTube. Even though he was born without vision, Edison has always loved film, and when he started posting reviews more than 5 years ago, his videos attracted thousands of viewers. Even the late great Robert Ebert gave Tommy two thumbs up. Edison has given his take on everything from Hunger Games to Reservoir Dogs, but he approaches movies differently from most film fans. He says, "I'm not distracted by all the beautiful shots and attractive people," he once said. "I watch a movie from the writing and acting, since he only judges what he can hear." Edison doesn't care for CGI heavy action blockbusters. On the other hand, he's a big fan of the Die Hard movies. Even more fascinating than his reviews are the videos on his second channel, where he answers interesting questions from his viewers, such as how a blind person learns to smile, whether blind people can understand descriptions of color, and whether Edison would want to see if he was granted the ability. Simple yet profound, Edison's personal vlogs give an amazing insight into the world of the blind. Great going. Yay for him. At number 9, The Soldier Who Sees With His Tongue. Craig Lundberg was a 24-year-old Lance Corporal serving in Basra, Iraq, when his life changed forever. In 2007, the young soldier found himself on the wrong end of an RPG, receiving serious wounds to his head, face, and arms. Even worse, the attack left him completely blind. Doctors were forced to remove his left eye, leaving him with a right eyeball that was totally useless. Suddenly, Lance Corporal Lundberg was lost in the dark. Lundberg was prepared to spend his life relying on his guide dog when he was chosen by the Ministry of Defense to test a crazy piece of sci-fi technology called the Brain Port. After donning a pair of sunglasses equipped with a video camera, images from the camera were converted into electrical pulses and sent to the, quote, lollipop, a device sitting on Lundberg's tongue. Scientists aren't sure what happened next. The signals coursed through his tongue and ended up either in the visual cortex or the somatosensory cortex, the part that processes touch. Either way, Lundberg could now see, sort of. While the lollipop felt like licking a 9-volt battery, Lundberg could suddenly make out two-dimensional images. He could identify simple shapes, didn't need help moving, and could pick up objects without fumbling around. Even more surprising, he could make out letters, giving him the ability to read. While the device is still in development, it promises to give Lundberg a completely new life, although he says he's never getting rid of his faithful guide dog. At number 8, The Explorer Who Trekked to the South Pole. We've already told you about Eric Weinmayer, the blind adventurer who scaled Mount Everest, but he isn't the only visually challenged superhuman laughing in Mother Nature's face. Meet former Royal Navy sailor Alan Locke. Growing up, Locke dreamed of becoming a submarine officer, but during training, he lost his eyesight in 6 short weeks to macular degeneration. Locke views the world through frosted glass with blind spots, quote, dotting his vision, but he wasn't going to let a little thing like blindness bring him down. Inspired by his disability, Locke set out to conquer the world. Between 2003 and 2012, he competed in 18 marathons, climbed Mount Elbrus, and became the first blind person to row across the Atlantic Ocean. Still not satisfied with his list of awesome achievements, Locke decided to try something even cooler, literally. With the help of 2 sighted friends and a guide, the 31-year-old set off from the Antarctic coast, determined to ski to the South Pole. Hauling a 60-kilogram, that's 130-pound sled around his waist and battling freezing winds, Locke and his companions traveled 960 kilometers, that's 600 miles, over 39 days, snacking on dehydrated foods and chunks of butter. Not only did he become the first blind person to reach the South Pole, he earned over $25,000 for charities that help the visually challenged. At number 7, The Blind Woman Who Can See Movement. In 2000, 29-year-old Melina Channing suffered a stroke that wiped out her primary visual cortex. This should have left her completely blind, but Channing swore she saw rain as it fell to earth. She saw cars whizzing past her window and even saw her daughter running and playing. When doctors analyzed Channing's brain, they thought she must have been mistaken. It was neurologically impossible for her to see anything other than a big empty void. They believe she may have been suffering from Charles Bonnet syndrome, a bizarre affliction that causes blind people to experience hallucinations. Convinced these flashes were real, Channing met up with Gordon Dutton, the only physician who believed her story. The Glasgow ophthalmologist suspected Channing was instead experiencing redox phenomenon, a strange syndrome that allows people to see moving shapes but nothing else. To test his theory, the doctor had Channing sit in a rocking chair and move back and forth. Suddenly, she could see the world moving past her. Sure enough, 5 years after the stroke, a group of researchers confirmed that the part of Channing's brain that processed motion was still intact. Instead of sending signals to her visual cortex, her eyes were routing information to the region in charge of interpreting movement. Fortunately, with the help of Dr. Dutton, Channing has slowly started seeing things more clearly. She still cannot make out the faces of those around her, as part of her brain dedicated to that process no longer functions, but the fact that she can see anything at all is nothing short of amazing. Truly, truly is. Blessing. At number 6, the painter who can't see his own art. Born in Istanbul in 1953, Esref Armagan had 2 strikes against him before he even took his first breath. Not only was his family poor, his eyes were completely worthless. One was the size of a lentil, while the other just didn't work. Despite his bad breaks, Armagan was a curious kid. Wanting to explore, he started touching everything he could get his hands on, and eventually he started drawing. Started at age 6, he eventually graduated from butterflies and colored pencils to portraits and oil paints. Working in total silence, Armagan visualizes an image and then makes an outline with a braille stylus. Next, he traces the etching with a pencil, checking his work with his sensitive left hand. Afterward, he uses his fingers to dab on the paint until he has a windmill, a villa, or even a Volvo. In 2009, the Swedish car company hired Armagan to paint their new S60. After tracing the car's outline with his fingers, he whipped up a rather impressive painting, especially considering he couldn't see his subject. In addition to commissioned work, Armagan's paintings have shown up in the Netherlands, the Czech Republic, the U.S., and China. He's even appeared in an episode of Discovery's The Real Superhumans. However, the strangest thing about Armagan is he's very unusual brain. Harvard researchers asked the Turk to draw a few sketches from the inside of an MRI scanner. As Esref doodled away, scientists were shocked by what they saw. Usually, a blind person's visual cortex shows up in scans as a black blob. That's what Armagan's looked like when he wasn't drawing. But when neurologists gave the artist a pen and paper, his visual cortex lit up like a Christmas tree. It looked like he was using his eyes. Scientists are still trying to figure out Armagan's mysterious brain, but whatever is happening in his head is working wonders on his canvases. At number 5, the man who hacked the phone system. John Egressi was a very pricky guy Born blind in 1949, this precocious kid spent his days playing with phones, calling random numbers, and listening to recordings for fun. It was the only way a visually challenged geek could entertain himself back in the 50s. He was also one of those kids who enjoyed whistling, and it was the combination of these weird hobbies that led Ingrisia to discover the secret world of the telephone system. When he was just 8 years old, Ingressi was making a call and whistling when the recording suddenly stopped. He tried it again and realized that whenever he whistled at 2,600 hertz, the message would cut off. Thanks to his songbird powers, he could fool the tone-based system into thinking he was an operator. From there, the possibilities were endless. He could place long-distance calls for free or chat with multiple people on conference calls. Eventually, he got so good that he routed a call all the way around the globe and back to himself on a separate receiver. Obviously, this was very illegal, and Ingressi was arrested twice. Instead of scaring him straight, though, the notoriety thrust him into the center of a bizarre subculture. As it turned out, Joe wasn't the only one to figure out the phone lines. In the 1970s, freaking, the term for tinkering with the phone system, was a regular hacker activity, and Ingressia became one of their leaders. Some of these tech-savvy kids, like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, went on to greatness. Ingressi, on the other hand, wasn't so lucky. Though he had an IQ of 172, a rough home life coupled with sexual abuse by a teacher totally messed with his mind. During his later life, Ingressi changed his name to Joy Bubbles and insisted he was 5 years old. Joy Bubbles listened to Mr. Rogers' tapes religiously, collected toys, talked to imaginary friends, and lived off Social Security checks. Sadly, Ingressi passed away in 2007, leaving behind an impressive but depressing legacy. At number 4, the inventor who created cruise control. Anyone who's ever driven a car owes a debt of gratitude to Ralph Teeter. During the 1940s, he invented one of the most useful features in your automobile, cruise control. That's extremely impressive considering that Teeter went blind at age 5. He lost his vision in a shop accident, but that didn't stop him from tinkering and building things. In fact, it gave him an edge that sighted investors lack. Not only could he better concentrate on his task, he wasn't constrained by what his eyes told him was standard or acceptable. He was free to create whatever he saw in his mind, and he created quite a few cool things in his day. In 1902, the 12-year-old built a car out of spare parts. After graduating from the University of Pennsylvania in 1912, he developed a new kind of fishing rod and reel, a locking mechanism, and a method of balancing steam turbine rotors in torpedo boat destroyers. Eventually, he opened his own corporation, which specialized in piston rings. But his greatest achievement came during World War II, when he was riding in a car driven by his lawyer. As the story goes, the attorney couldn't talk and drive at the same time. Whenever he started talking, he eased off the brakes. When he stopped, he stepped on the gas. This erratic driving quickly nauseated his blind passenger. Frustrated with his friend's inability to drive, Teeter came up with the concept of cruise control. 10 years later, he was applying for a patent, and soon after, it started showing up in Chrysler automobiles. Today, nearly every car on the road has cruise control, all thanks to a blind inventor and a lousy driver. And number 3, the most famous blind girl in the world. Have you ever heard of Laura Bridgman? There was a time when she was one of the most famous people on the planet. Born in 1829, Bridgman lost 4 of her 5 senses at age 2 after a bout of scarlet fever. Left only with the sense of touch, the young girl ended up at the Peterson's Institute in Boston, an asylum run by a man named Samuel Greeley Howe. While he was an unpleasant person, Howe was fascinated with Brigham's case, and by her seventh birthday, he taught Laura how to communicate with the outside world. 40 years before Helen Keller was even born, Brigham was learning to form letters with her fingers and press the shapes into a receiver's palm, slowly spelling out words and sentences. She also learned to read by running her hands over raised type. Thanks to her hard work and Howe's detailed reports, Brigham became an international celebrity, attracting thousands of fans who clamored for her autograph and locks of her hair. People came from all around to watch her read and write, and also little girls plucked glass eyes from their dolls, renaming them Laura. She even met Charles Dickens, who wrote about her in one of his books, making her even more famous. Of course, life was still difficult for the young teen. As she grew older, she suffered from anorexia because she couldn't taste or smell any food. She also became the center of a strange experiment. Curious what would happen if someone was cut off from all religious influence. Howe forbade anyone to speak to Laura about spiritual matters. When a group of evangelicals converted her to Christianity anyway, a furious Howe gave up on his pupil. He even went so far as to claim blind people were mentally inferior to the rest of the world. Disowned by her teacher, Brigham spent the rest of her life living at the Perkins Institute, a forgotten figure abandoned by the world. At number two, the world's first blind doctor. Jacob Bulletin holds a special place in medical history. The son of impoverished Polish immigrants, the good doctor was born in 1888 in Chicago. Unfortunately, congenital blindness ran in the family, and three out of the seven Bulletin children were born blind, including Jacob. Due to his disability, he quickly developed his own senses. Before long, he could recognize people by their scents and comprehend Braille through several layers of cloth. After graduating from school for the blind, Bulletin worked as a salesman, peddling brushes and typewriters on Chicago streetcars. His big dream was to become a doctor, but most colleges weren't willing to accept a blind student. After relentlessly hounding university boards, he eventually made it into Chicago medicine. When he finally graduated at 24, he became the first congenitally blind person to become a licensed physician. And we're going to have more on him next month. We'll continue with his story next month and give you the number one person on that list. Sounds good? Great. But unfortunately, we've run out of time for this edition of Connect to Success. Please come back next month for more uplifting stories. If you have any questions or concerns or would like to donate to North Carolina Reading Service, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Again, the number is 919-832-5138 or log on to our website at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the North Carolina Reading Service. This was Connect to Success. See you next time on the radio.